Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, folks. Troy Dooley here. Welcome to Radio for Your Mind. And I tell you what, it's a great day on a Friday. You know, I got a call early this morning from my son and my business partner, Dalton, and he said, hey, you want to meet for breakfast? And so we went over to Harbor Docks, had a great time, just a fun time. We've got a new project we're working on that he's excited about. And of course, this weekend we've got the Destin Bike Rally. So Harley-Davidsons are in town, and it's going to be an exciting weekend. He's looking forward to that. I just want to relax. But, hey, I want to let everyone know this afternoon on ACES Radio Live, we're going to have Bob Bledine. Now, Bob is the author, first of all, of The Power of Who. But what's even better is he's a sports agent. And this guy's got some incredible stories he's going to share. He's part of the Leadership Development Council at a network marketing company called Advocare. So we're going to be having just a rock-solid show this afternoon. It's going to be fun. Bob is not one of those typical, you know, inside network marketer type deals. He is a true coach, a true professional. If you ever watched Jerry Maguire, you know, you get an idea of what agents are about and what they do. And Bob is completely opposite of Jerry Maguire. He's this wild guy that knows how to take care of everything, understands the power of influence, and actually understands that you already know everybody that you need to know. You just need to go out there and make things happen. And it's going to be a fun show. But today we're in Alan Fine's book, You Already Know How to Be Great, A Simple Way to Remove Interference and Unlock Your Greatest Potential. And in Chapter 5, we're going to be discovering how to coach for a breakthrough. And some of you may be on the call saying, Troy, I don't need to know how to coach somebody else. I got to coach myself. Well, there you go. That's it. You're coaching yourself. Some of you are coaching large teams. Some of you are what John Maxwell calls a 360 leader, means you're not at the top of the food chain. You're somewhere in the middle. And you need to be coaching people above you and below you. I was on the phone last night with a man that I have just grown to love, not just as a professional, but as a friend. And he had called and said, hey, can you do some quick research for me? And I'm finishing that up today. But as we were talking, I could tell he's in a position where he sees something in his life, something that's taken place in a corporate situation, a consulting job that he has, and yet he cannot get the CEO to move. And when I was reading through this chapter, I thought, oh, man, this is exactly it. You've got to be able to show either yourself or others that there needs to be a breakthrough, that they need to be able to move forward. And looking at Alan's book, I get excited about this book because it's another one of those meat and potato books. But listen to this. He says, in this chapter, we're going to take a look at how we can use GROW to help others create breakthrough performance. In doing so, we will use the word coaching. Now get this. Coaching to describe not only the interactions such as those between an athlete coach and an athlete, a parent and a child, a manager and employee, and a teacher and a student, but also any interaction which one person is seeking to influence another. Now, see, in direct selling, in corporate America, in the position as a CEO, a visionary, a consultant, influence is the end of the game. If we cannot influence somebody to move, literally, there's nothing else that we can do. We will never build that relationship. Even when you're starting out in a personal relationship and you think about this, it's the same exact principle. See, if you cannot influence a person to either move towards you or they can't influence you to move towards them, then there's no middle ground whatsoever. And that's where we look at what Alan says. But one of the things that he gets into, and I really love this, he says less is more. And that's something that you may want to write down, just less is more. Listen to this. Our goal was to develop a strategy. Now, they're talking about writing this book. That would help to get the flow and maintain high performance in every mode of life. Now think about this. If our focus is to get into that groove, to get into that focus line. Matter of fact, I was just watching something on Fox News. They were showing a brand new helicopter that's propellers. It's a dual propeller going in opposite directions, which is allowing it to go instead of 150 knots, 250 knots. not. It doesn't even have a tail fin or anything. It's got a propeller on the back. But it's interesting because as I was watching that and reading this chapter, I thought, you know what, that's what we have to do. We have got to be able to move in synergy. We've got to be able to bring our team, who's constantly moving in opposite directions, together with flow in one direction. They have to be able to take all those personalities, and to do that, less is more. We've got to be able to remove the interference. And too many times what we as coaches try to do is to jump on a phone call, jump into a consulting session, and puke on the actual student that we're talking to. And see, that's something in here that Alan talks about. See, everybody wants to be a coach these days, and I believe people would rather have a coach than a boss. But the dilemma, and this is a huge dilemma that we all face, is that we want to change people most of the time more than they want to change. I want to say that one again because this isn't in Alan's book. We as coaches, we as teachers, whatever we want to call ourselves, we want to change people more than people want to be changed. And whether you're coaching at school, whether you're a trainer in the professional world, you know, whether you're an instructor somewhere doing something, all of this adds up. Because if all we are doing is the talking, if all we are doing is trying to get somebody to move that doesn't want to move, nothing's going to happen. It's just going to stand still. Listen to what Alan says here. He says, what goes under the banner of coaching today includes everything from consulting to from counseling to consulting to mentoring to just giving advice. Most of it comes from the traditional outside-in approach, what we've learned at high school, what we've learned in college, where somebody's trying to give us more knowledge. You know what? I'm a firm believer. If you're over the age of 25, you probably have all the knowledge that you need outside of some customized stuff if you're a doctor or a lawyer or something like that. You've been given the knowledge. If we look at my good friend Tom Hopp, he says between the 0 and 18, you've learned just about everything that you're going to learn. So when you analyze what Alan just stated here, we see how accurate that is. See, we cannot add more knowledge to individuals because if we continue to add knowledge, create paralysis of analysis. If we create paralysis of analysis, we're not doing our job. Now this brings up a paradigm right here. Think about this for a second. In the sports world, if we see a football team, I'm going to take my favorite, Kansas City Chiefs. They have a coach, great coach. He coaches them year in and year out, all through the 80s, all through the 90s, and they could get to the playoffs, but they could never get to the Super Bowl. The question you have to ask yourself is it the team's fault or the coach's fault? Eventually, they decided it was the coach's fault. They'd replaced the team more than once, so they fired him. That makes good sense. The dilemma, though, is in business, in the business world, if we're a coach, if we're leading a large team, if we're a CEO, we have the tendency to fire the employee. Well, they just didn't get it. They aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing. So I'm just going to fire them. When in reality, we may be giving them too much knowledge. See, in sports, you have the main coach, but then you have individual. You got the offensive line coach. You got the defensive line coach. You got the place kicker. You got a coach for everything. A lot of times, those baby coaches get fired before the main coach does. In business, if you're coaching, if you're consulting, if you're whatever you call yourself, if you're doing it and your team, your division, your squad, whatever it is not performing, then you need to look at yourself. You have to be accountable as the coach. It's not saying that every now and then there's somebody that doesn't want to change. Remember, I said coaches usually want to change people before or more than the person wants to change. And what we have to do now as coaches, and this is what Alan gets into in Coaching for Breakthrough, is that we've got to find out what it is that person needs. We have to use the inside-out approach. Alan uses something here that I think is pretty unique, and if we study this for a second, I think we'll start to see what we're looking at. See, the word coach has its original origins back in the Victorian era. The coach was named after a small Hungarian village, Cox, C-O-X. KOCS, were superior wagons, carts, and carriages. They were all built in this one village. They would carry more than two people over bumpy roads and for long distances. Now think about this for a second. If a coach has its origins in the word wagon, I mean, that's what it was, it carried people. Most people in those days could not afford a nice coach, a coach from this village. They might have a little wooden wagon that somebody was pushing. Maybe they had a one-horse carried, something like that. But the coach was this nice, had a ceiling over it. It kind of looked like the old wagon coaches of the old days in the Old West. We need to be looking at ourselves like this, because a good coach, a quality coach, a coach from this Hungarian village could only be afforded by people that had the financial means to buy one. Not only did you have the coach, now you had to buy the horses. The horses are carrying the coach. The coach is carrying the people. If we put this in a today's analogy, we can look at the knowledge and the wisdom that the coach has could be those horses. The coach, obviously, is that cart that's carrying those people. But if the coach has a hole in their mentality, meaning they're causing more interference than they're fixing, then the coach is no good. See, that's where we've got to dig a little deeper. We've got to look at how can we look at the performers on our team. How can we take an opportunity to say, how can I be better? What is it that I need to do? What is it that I can do to change this? And we talked about this not too long ago in one of Marcus Buckingham's books, where Marcus really digs deep and he asks some questions, and they did this through the Gallup organization. And I'm not going to go all through all the questions, but here are some questions that were asked. You know, do I know what to expect from my job? Do I know what's expected of me at my work? You know, questions like, at work, do I have the opportunity to do what I do best every day? Part of my breakfast today with Dalton was literally going over and analyzing what his future is going to be. And he's like his dad. He's taking the next 60 to 90 days, whatever it is, to the first of the year to get that basic action plan ready for 2011. And when you take the time to do that, you ask a lot of questions. But here's the kicker. If we use Alan's situation, the questions that we are asking are not based on new knowledge that somebody's given us. The questions that we're asking are coming from within. It's an inside-out approach. It's looking at what we already know, wiping out the interference, taking those little bit of wisdom that's left and saying, okay, now I want to take this and I want to use it. I want to move this forward, which brings us in for the next 15 minutes to the deepest part of the show today. It's the inside-out coaching.
That's right. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Whoa.
Excuse me.
Whoa. Stop.
Do what? Hello? Hey, buddy.
Hey, man. You got a caller. I know you've been going on a rant there. You got a caller with their hand up there, and I don't know if that was inadvertent or if they've got something that they wanted to ask you. So yeah, I wanted to give you an opportunity to find out what we had going on here.
Well, I am not by my computer, so if you are looking at the switchboard, why don't you do me a great favor and turn that person on?
I'll do it. All right, we got a caller from the Dallas, Texas area. Last four digits are 5262. Had your hand up with a question, I'm assuming. Go ahead. Now, they either hit the button inadvertently, or the Shy Monsters got a hold of them and they muted their phone or something. I don't know. Well, I'm going to re-hit the mute button then. 597-5262. How you doing this morning, buddy?
I am doing fantastic. It has been a wonderful week. My mother-in-law and father-in-law came into town, and I tell you what, it's just awesome, buddy. How you doing?
I am really looking forward to this evening.
I tell you what, we talked about that at the first of the hour, and he, Bob, is an awesome guy, and people are going to love the show.
Oh. I'll let you get back to business, man. I was just listening.
No, I'm glad. I got a little feedback, too, now in my headset. But, dude, we're going to have some fun. And people need to be on Aces Radio Live this afternoon because they, if they don't know who Bob is, they're in for a really great surprise, especially since he's not a network marketer. He's not in direct selling. He's actually an agent. So it ought to be a fun time, man, especially as he talks about how he coaches his players to get the best deals out there.
Absolutely.
It will be fun. But let's look at the inside-out coaching conversations, and because this is what we've got to look at. And, guys, you can write this down or you can just analyze it. But there's basically four types of conversations that we're going to have. You have the conversations where it's a willing awareness, where the actual student is coming to you saying, I want your advice. I did this week. Actually have a guy that I've never met, but I followed him for ages. He happens to be the editor-in-chief of a very successful magazine. And I reached out to him. And in doing so, building a new relationship, asking questions, because I have a willing awareness that there's weaknesses that I want to improve. But you also have a willing unawareness. You have those people that are willing to change, those students that are willing to change, but they're unaware that there needs to be a change. Then you have an unwilling unaware. There are people in life, sometimes they're very, very egotistical, but they're unwilling that they even have a problem. And when you tell them that there's an issue, what do? They're unwilling to change. That we're going to address that. Then you have those that are unwilling, but they're aware that there's an issue. Sometimes we see relationships break up when that happens. Of those four conversations, only one is initiated by the student. And that's the one where they're willing and they're aware that there needs to be a change. The other three are coach-driven conversations. See, if we realize that as the coach, then we realize that there's two major words that we have to think about. One is breakthrough. The other is engagement. Allen writes this, and I think this is good. The distinction between breakthrough and engagement is critical from the very beginning. It clarifies who initially owns the issue and creates a significant difference in how the coach opens the conversation. We're going to focus in the next few minutes, we're going to focus primarily on the breakthrough conversations. Because if we use Allen's GROW approach, where we're looking at the goals, the reality, the opportunities, and the willingness to move forward, if we're looking at our options, rather, and our willingness to move forward, then we understand that we as the coach have to be able to make the breakthrough. We've got to be able to get that student, even if that student is ourself, to make those initial changes. We've got to be able to set them down. We've got to look at the specific situation and know the goals. We've got to get the student to sit there and realize, here's the reality. Here's where those weaknesses are. Here's the options that are at hand. And here's the way forward. Here's the way to move to that new direction. See, once we're aware of the issue, now the student will take over. Once we've put GROW, because remember, this is the inside out, not the outside in. Once we've started to initiate the stimuli in the brain to where now the performer, not the coach, the performer, is working through the process. I see this a lot in martial arts. I remember my oldest son wanting to show me a beautiful kick. He had practiced and practiced. He'd done it great. And we initiated the kick. Instead of keeping his head high, he actually brought his head down, and it met his knee with quite a forceful impact, which caused all kinds of situations. We've got to be able to make sure that the performance is moving in the right direction. We've got to make sure that the practice and the end result creates the way forward, creates the outcome. In order for us to do that, we have to make sure that we know and we understand. Now, this is where we get a little bit deeper than usual, but we got to understand the neuroscience of leadership. And I want to read this. It's very short, but I want to read what Dr. Jeffrey Schwartz and consultant David Rock has to say about this. It's funny because they did this research, and they really created, I don't know, I would call it the scientific approach that demonstrates the measurable physical effects of approaches such as the inside-out coaching, where we know that it's about faith, fire, and focus. They observed that the brain scan activity shows dramatic differences in the way people think. Because of these differences, giving advice or telling other people what your brain would do, which basically what they're saying here is, which their research shows to be the most common way of helping folks, is very inefficient to facilitating change. See, just telling a person, here's how your brain thinks, here's why you do what you do, does not help them facilitate change. They found the insights to be useful. They need to generate it from within, not given to individuals as conclusions. In other words, you can ask questions. See, this goes back that a good coach does little talking and a whole lot of listening. They listen to what's going on, they analyze, and then they ask questions, causing the stimuli in the brain of the performer to start making their own conclusions on what needs to be changed. It says, when people experience their own moments of insight, it creates sudden bursts of high energy of brain activity. It releases adrenaline and dopamine-like substances and creates new brain, this is great, and creates new brain circuits that weren't there before. Now, because they create these circuits, they are energized by them and they want to execute those circuits. They want to bring them alive to the world. So it's not communicate, communicate, communicate. It's facilitate connections, facilitate connections, facilitate connections. The act of paying attention creates chemical and physical changes in the brain, says Schwartz and Rocks. Over time, paying enough attention to any specific brain connection keeps relevant circuitry open and diametrically alive. These circuits can then eventually become not just chemical links, but stable physical change in brain structure. Now, I'm going to segue for a second. When we think about all the brain problems out there, we think of all these diseases like Parkinson's and Alzheimer's and all this stuff. It's amazing if we just use our brain a little bit more, if we focus just a little bit more, if we get rid of the interference, what can happen? And I think that's the power behind this, guys. Coaching is not just about taking in money and giving a little bit of advice that you learn from your own life experiences. It's about being a consistent learner yourself. It's about going out of your way to find people like Bob Bodine, who will be on a radio show to share their perspective, to tweak the stimuli in different people's brains. I love that. Now, listen a second. Going down this road, if you're saying, okay, I'm getting it, Troy, I think I can do this, here's three types of conversations that will, I really think, give you the start. And all these are the starts, but think about this, because this is how you want to do it. The first is to listen empathetically. Don't ask a lot of questions at first. Listen to what's being said. Here's what this does to the brain of the performer. I value you enough to want to really understand your point of view, whether I agree or not. I have a friend of mine, Derek Brose. Derek is a political strategist. He does a lot of work for some big California campaigns. He does work with John Rich, does some great stuff out there. Here's the kicker, though. He talks. He's a fundraiser. He's a strategist. So he's always talking when he's in that persona. He's not what I would call an empathetic listener. However, when he's in his coaching role as a corporate leader, or I could call him on the phone and say, I've got a quick question, I want to share something with you, he becomes that empathetic listener. We have to be able to know how to use that type of a conversation. The second one is to ask permission. I respect your right to choose whatever it is that you want to do, but I have a question. I'd like to get your permission. One of the things that I did with this gentleman that I'm building a relationship with is I said, with your permission, if I'm talking about you on my radio show and I'm naming you by name, I would like to post and tag you on Facebook if that's okay. Ask permission. If I'm talking to somebody, like I have a friend in my accountability group that is a devout, staunch Democrat, when I'm getting ready to say something that I think might offend him in my accountability group, I ask permission. I'll say, Paul, is it okay if I bring up an area that we disagree on in politics? Because I want to get permission. See, this is part of being a coach. The third type of conversation that you want to have is be truthful. I respect you enough not to lie to you or withhold from you, even if it makes you or me uncomfortable. Tom Hoppe and I have that kind of a relationship. When he sees me doing something on Facebook or I've written an article that he disagrees or disapproves of, he has no problem calling me on the phone and saying, I think that was the stupidest thing that you've ever done. It's important. As a coach, there's something else that you need to focus on, your body language. See, listen to what Alan writes. I think this is great. Empathetic listening involves more than just simply listening to words. It involves listening to things such as tone, inflection, emotion, and body language, the nonverbal cues that can communicate even more than words. One of the things that we are doing as we move into the new year, I'm working on this technology that will allow us to do live interviews streaming on the net. Then we'll be able to take those and put them up in some blog posts that we're doing. The reason that we're doing this is because I want people to see the actual people that we're interviewing so that they can look at them and know their body language. They can see that inflection of the tonality. See, this helps. This is one of the things when you're doing live dials on a telephone and talking to prospects that great trainers, whether it's Jim or Falcone, any of these guys will train you on. The inflection of your voice will send patterns, brainwaves to the prospect, and very quickly you will either get their attention or they will slam the door and not want anything to do with you. You will be amazed if you can learn how to coach correctly what will happen. You know, one of the things that we learned early on, I think we've all heard this and seen it, and if you want to read it, know where it came from, you can read the definitive book of body language. And here's what it says. That book came out around the 1950s, but here's what it says. About 7% of what we get is from the words themselves. Just 7%. So it doesn't matter if you memorize the script. It doesn't matter if you're the best oracle in the world. Only 7% is there. 38% is going to include the tonality of the voice, the inflection, and other sounds surrounding them. 55% is nonverbal. See, this is why videos work far better than just ad copy. There's this old thing, and if any of you guys are network marketers and you're running around and you're saying, hey, here's the kicker, Troy, it's all about ad copy. Ad copy. No, it isn't. It isn't about content when it comes to written word. It's about them seeing and seeing live and in person the empathy or the ego or whatever it is that you have. As a coach, you have to be able to drive this home personally before you'll ever be able to help a student. You've got to dig deep to fully understand. And if you can't empathize, if you can't ask permission, if you cannot be truthful, you should not be a coach. You should not be leading a team because you're not even leading yourself correctly. Think about that over the weekend. I swear you guys need to go buy Alan's book. It's on the market now. It wasn't a week ago. Now it is. You can go over to Alan-Fine.com, or you can go to InsideOutDEV.com and learn more about him. This afternoon, Aces Radio Live, The Power of Who. You already know everyone you need to know by Bob Bodine. He is a great trainer. He's part of the Leadership Council at Advocare. He has his own consulting and agents practice within the athletes with Eastman and Bodine, one of the top sports and entertainment search executives in the United States. You do not want to miss this call this afternoon. It's going to rock. Folks, live life like it's an epic adventure. I'll see you at the top. Be back here Monday morning on Radio for Your Mind. Bye now.